Revival meeting's coming up, and I want to share some thoughts this evening in revival preparation. The first thing I want to read to you is something that I think that I've shared all of this before, I think, different times previous to revival. Just want to refresh our memory and prepare our hearts, get us to thinking, praying, seeking. First thing I want to share with you tonight, though, is a quote from H. Rob French. Now, I don't know that I've ever met H. Rob French. I've seen him, I believe. You know, I've seen pictures of him, and I've certainly heard a lot about him, and I've heard him preach, at least in recording. He was pretty straightforward. He didn't beat around the bush. Things that I hear about him, he was just kind of cut and dried. This statement is pretty cut and dry. Don't take offense to it. Don't take offense to it. Just see how it can be applied to us, our hearts individually. If sinners are not saved, it is largely because they are not convicted. If they are not convicted, it is because the church is not burdened. If the church is not burdened, it is because the Holy Spirit is not operating through her. If the Spirit does not operate, it is because there is a condition there which is offensive to him. That's a startling statement to me. You see, you see what I'm saying? He doesn't beat around the bush. He just lays it out. And I suppose we could put up some barriers and some defensive barriers that would shield our little self away from what he's saying here. But really what we need to do is to keep those defenses down and see really how it applies, how it can apply. Because we're talking about things that are far greater than temporal things. We're talking about eternal things here. It is because there is a condition there in the church, in the body of Christ, which is offensive to him. I'll take that back downstairs and put it on my bulletin board, which is where it's been for a number of years, until the Lord tells me to take it off and read it again. Revival. Warren C. McIntyre, I shared this with you before, a number of years ago. Warren C. McIntyre this is Warren C. McIntyre's point. 7 points here from Warren C., not mine. If you were here this morning, you'd know what that means. These are his points. Objectives for or of a revival. Objectives of a revival. What are the objectives? What are you looking for? What should we be looking for in revival? He looks at Luke chapter 14, and he's in verse number 28. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first, counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? You know, the objectives of a revival. What is the end goal? What do we have here in developing? Number one, an objective for revival is an awakening, a restoring, a quickening of the consciousness of God. I don't know where you would be in that particular statement, but I believe that it's probably something that we all have at least a little room to move in. At least a little bit of room to move in. An awakening, a restoring, a quickening of the consciousness, a consciousness of God. There's a lot of things around us that would draw our attention away to the temporal. Here is what he's saying is a quickening of the consciousness of God. Number two, a magnifying of the character of God. Loving, merciful, faithful, good, holy, just, judge, avenger. magnifying of the character of God. Number three, a quickening of the conscience of men on the question of sin. That might go a little bit along with H. Rob French's statement. A quickening of the conscience of men on the question of sin. Number four, a restoring of the Word of God as the ruling authority in the lives of young and old. Ruling authority, the restoration of the Word of God as the ruling authority. Number five, a magnifying of Jesus as the Savior of men. There is no other salvation but through the name of Christ. There is no other salvation through the except through the name of Christ. A magnifying of Jesus as the Savior. Number six, the creating and intensifying of a conscience respecting the Christian's responsibility to God for the saving of the lost. Whew. Well, that brings into our view, fresh and anew, the reality of our existence. We are here for such a time as this, and our goal and our purpose, God-given purpose, responsibility to God for the saving of the lost. That might go back here to H. Rob French's statement as well, that we have a responsibility of seeking and trusting, believing, and concerned about the very power and presence of the Holy Spirit among us to save, convict, and ultimately to save the lost. Number seven, the honoring of the Holy Spirit in all the work of God. The honoring of the Holy Spirit in all the work of God. Not taking any of the glory for ourselves. Not lifting ourselves up in any way. By any experience that we have religiously, spiritually, never allowing it to lift us up to think that we now are better than somebody else. Or we are more holy than somebody else, or more godly than somebody else. We're more keenly aware of the voice of the Holy Spirit than somebody else. But always, always honoring the Holy Spirit in all the work of God. I don't know who it was. I have it here listed, but I don't remember who it was. And I shared this with you just more recent years. But I have a list here of essentials to a real revival. Essentials to a real revival. Number one is the powerful presence and help of the Holy Spirit. That goes without saying, doesn't it? But sometimes we can go without saying it and forget it. And live in such a way that it's really not the driving factor, or it's not a focal point, or something that we are conscious of. We know it, but we don't really, really seek it. The powerful presence and help of the Holy Spirit. You know, there's something to be said there in that particular thought that we do not quench the Holy Spirit. Because we can. God has given us the ability to choose, and we can, if we are not conscious and careful, we can inadvertently quench the Holy Spirit and His presence. Going back to H. Rob French's comment here, if they are not convicted, it is because the church is not burdened. And if we are failing to carry that burden, then we in essence are quenching the very presence and Spirit of God. One of the things that we find on the day of Pentecost in the book of Acts chapter 2, we find that on the day of Pentecost, when it was fully come, they were all with one accord and in one place. And we can spend a lot of time talking about that, and we can really focus in on those two words, one accord. And it's something that is vital. It's something that is needed. We need to understand that there is a unity that is necessary. I've heard preachers preach that the reason why they were in the upper room for so many days following their entrance into there after Jesus told them to go and tarry and wait for the endowment of power from on high, wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit. They didn't understand all that was going on, but they were waiting. And I've heard a lot of preachers preach that it took them that long just to come to the point where they were in one accord. Because we have so many differences, and sometimes those differences hinder us in our unity. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the very first chapter of the book of Corinthians, he mentions in the 10th verse that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Is he implying here that there are some divisions, some possible divisions that hinder the Holy Spirit's working? Is that what the implication is? Because he's clearly saying, let there be no division here among you. Now, he's not talking about what color of clothes you have to wear, or that. He's talking about the disagreements that we may have and allowing them to build barriers in our lives. That there be no divisions. He goes on in chapter number 3 and verse 3. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Well, one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos. Are ye not? Well, what's he saying here? He's saying, you know, there's nothing wrong with saying that I'm of Apollos and I'm of Paul the apostle. You know, he's talking about the divisions that develop from those things. Jesus tells us in Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 5, that we are to be reconciled. When there's a division among us, we are to be reconciled. We are to work those things out so that they are no longer dividing factors. As a matter of fact, he said we need to leave our gift at the altar and go our way and be reconciled to that brother, and then come and offer the gift. The powerful presence and help of the Holy Spirit. And we have within the grasp of our hands, within the grasp of our heart, the ability to see him come, or the ability to say, inadvertently say, nah, I think we'll just pass here. I'm going to hold this grudge, or I'm going to hold this barrier, this disunity, this division. Essentials to a true and real revival, number 2, would be the fearless yet respectful preaching of Bible truth. Most of you don't know Curtis Going personally. You know, you've seen him, he's been here, he's preached from this pulpit before. Most of us have seen him at least, but maybe you don't know him. But when this statement here is basically in his court, this is his thing, isn't it? We don't have anything to do with that. And so let me just simply say that I believe that our evangelist is one that will fearlessly and yet respectfully preach God's truth. What does that mean then? That means, number 3, that we have a receptive hearing on the part of the people. that we have a receptive heart. You know, we just concluded last Sunday, was it, the soil in Matthew chapter 13, those four different soils. That the soil of our soul would be the good soil. Be receptive and produce it. The seed that God plants and the sower throws out there for us, that it's finding good lodging, good soil to lodge in. And the fourth one is just another step in that progression, a willingness to act on the light the Word and the Spirit gives, a receptance, a receptivity, an acceptance of. Earnest believing, prevailing prayer. Earnest believing, prevailing prayer. You know, one of the hindrances to revivals, to revival meetings, one of the hindrances to any service is prayerlessness. Now, I know that it's easy for us to come in. I know that it's easy for us to come in to services, service after service, and just go about it out of habit. You know, I'm 55 years old. I've been going to church for 55 years. Two times on Sunday, sometimes three times on Sunday. Wednesday night, revival meetings. You know, back in the day, it was 10-day meetings. Sometimes they were two-week meetings, starting on Sunday and going through two more Sundays. Camp meetings and other church revival meetings. We went to everything. You know, there was just church service after church service, and we can become so much in a rut because of all the other activities in our world, in our lives, that it becomes easy for us to just to come into church, and we fail to really seek God's presence and seek God for ourselves in that service. It's recorded in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 11. Jesus is saying a lot of things here in this passage. Let me try to bring it down here. He said that if we would ask, it shall be given you. If we would seek, we will find. If we knock, it shall be opened unto you. That's following the parable or the story about the friend that went to the neighbor and asked for three loaves because he had some company coming. You know, that's the story of the importunate neighbor. Encouraging us to be importunate in our prayers. Importunity, that we continue to press and we continue to seek, we continue to knock. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. We find in the book of James that James is saying here that we have not because we ask not. Prayerlessness. He goes on in the next verse, we ask for some things and we receive not because we're asking amiss. Why would a person ask amiss? Well, he answers that. He said, because you want to consume it upon your own lust, your own desires. Maybe he's saying that you want to build yourself up in this particular answer to prayer. Hindrance to revival would be just that, pride. Lifting ourselves up. Where we should first of all submit ourselves to God, humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. God giveth more grace, but he resisteth the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Essentials to real revival: the powerful presence of the Holy and help of the Holy Spirit. the fearless yet respectful preaching of Bible truth, a receptive hearing on the part of the people, a willingness to act on the light the Word and the Spirit gives, earnest, believing, prevailing prayer. Allow the Holy Spirit to burden your heart for somebody. Allow the Holy Spirit to burden your heart for a person, another person. Get close to that person. Walk with them. Build a relationship with them. Not just a Sunday relationship, but a real relationship. Develop a friendship with somebody and allow the Holy Spirit to burden your heart. Spend time with them. Develop a passion within your heart for their soul. I have some names if you want some. Some people that have come to us and need that. There's people all around us. If we're going to pray and seek and want God to come in revival meeting, there's some things that we need to be doing. There's a passion and a burden and a position for each of us. Nobody's exempt. Everybody has a place. God has a place for everybody in the work of the kingdom. Isn't that what he tells us in the picture of the body? Not everybody can be the head or the mouth or the arms or the hands or the legs or the feet. God help us. Let's be seeking, preparing, longing for a special move of the Holy Spirit in a revival meeting. And all of my desire tonight is that I would challenge you, each one of us, challenge us to see that happen. That God would be made real among us, convicting the hearts of those that need convicted, growing each one of us, sanctifying the unsanctified heart, really, truly taking them to that place that we surrender all. Complete surrender. God help us. Let's pray for revival. Would you stand with me this evening? Let's see what God has for us. I know that He has something good, because that's what He's promised us. Let's see that happens. Praise God. Diana, would you dismiss us in prayer?